Morning. Today's daf is daf hey in Chulin. Okay, we're on Dal Amud Beis. We're at Rav Hanan. Yesterday we talked about Kusi Mumar. So today we're going to talk about Mumar Kusi. Okay, we're just reversing orders. Okay, subject matter is going to be the same subject matter as it was yesterday. This is, okay, it's the beginning of Chulin. This is HaKol Shochtin. And so it'll be the same discussion that we had yesterday. Obviously, more points to make and, you know, newly mudim. So we won't review yesterday's daf. That's not true. I'll review some of it. But I'm saying, the topic matter is pretty much the same. Yesterday, we had a basic discussion of who can and who cannot shecht, and the mummer can shecht. But when we say can, though, there's a lot of qualifications on that. It's not that simply a mummer can. We have to talk about what type of mummer we're discussing. So as we pointed out yesterday, there are basically two categories of mummer, basically. There's a mummer lahachis and a mummer l'teavon. Even that we could subcategorize. But in terms of the most basic categories of mummer is someone who has issues with his commitment to Judaism, and the division goes in terms of why he has issues in terms of his Yiddishkeit. So a mummer l'teavon means that he has no fundamental issues. He just simply has a fight with his Yetzirah, and he loses that fight to his Yetzirah. Okay, and so he passes by a non-kosher restaurant, and he thinks to himself, I like it, I like the food, I like the price, I like a lot of things about it. And so what he does is he turns over to the and he goes there. And so, okay, so that's a mummer l'teavon, right? That's one level of mummer. The other level of mummer is mummer l'hachis. Mummer l'hachis is someone who has deep-rooted issues with Yiddishkeit, and probably with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and, you know, I'm not a psychologist, I don't fully understand these things, but okay, but they're out there. So mummer l'hachis, and that's such a mummer. So the Gemara is not excessively clear about it, meaning can he shecht at all? So the simple answer is no, he can't. Tosos points out a couple of times, Rashi seems to suggest this as well, that he can't even shecht even if someone's standing right over his shoulder, meaning a mummer l'hachis is totally out of the discussion of shechita. He can't shecht at all. So a mummer l'teavon can shecht, and a mummer l'hachis cannot shecht. Okay, that's our basic discussion that we had yesterday. Even in the mummer l'teavon discussion, what if it's mummer, in other words, he has a fight with his yetzer hara, he loses. What if that fight is over eating kosher? Meaning, what if he's a mummer la'oso davar? So he's a mummer for actually eating non-kosher. Can he shecht? And Rava was mechadish. Rava came up with a big chiddush, and Rava says, "Yeah, even he can shecht, because even though he has a fight with his yetzer hara and he loses the fight, but if everything's equal, meaning if there are kosher and non-kosher standing right in front of him, and there's no extra effort in order to get the kosher that's to the non-kosher, and he'll take the kosher, so therefore even he can shecht."
He's a mummer
la'oso davar, meaning for the thing that we're asking him to do. Meaning we're asking him to shecht right now, but on his own, he wouldn't necessarily eat kosher. So this is what, it's mummer l'teavon, meaning it's not because he has a fundamental religious issue, it's just simply he fights with his yetzer hara over this issue and he doesn't win the fight.
And this one you have to have him watched.
And so for this one, no, interestingly enough, no, you don't. But just, Rava says, the only thing you need to do is you need to check the knife beforehand. Because checking the knife beforehand, that requires a lot of effort and work. And for that, this guy over here may not take the efforts in order to do that. So you check the knife, you give him the knife, he shechts. And Rava says, and that would be fine, that would work. Okay, that's a chiddush. But that wasn't the biggest chiddush we saw yesterday. The biggest chiddush we saw yesterday belongs to Rav Anan. Rav Anan quotes, and it's interesting, he quotes in the name of Shmuel, and Rav Anan says that that even if you're a mumma l'avodah zarah, okay, which means that he has the yetzer hara for avodah zarah, and he gives into this yetzer hara, and he serves idolatry, so he could still shecht. Okay, that's the biggest chiddush we saw yesterday, and so this morning we start our discussion with how did he arrive at that conclusion. Now that's a very big chiddush, as I mentioned at the end of yesterday's daf. I'm going to repeat right now. We don't pass like Rav Anan. This is not a shita that's accepted. But obviously, it requires understanding. It is a shita, so it requires understanding. So how does he get to that conclusion? So that's where we start today. We're on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and we start in the middle of the page with the words Gufa. It's the first word in the line. Gufa Amar Rav Anan Amar Shmuel Yisrael Mumel Avros Kochav Mutal Lechom Shchita Sal. So you're allowed to eat the shchita of someone who is an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. He's an idolater, meaning, and he's declarative about it. So why? How do I know that? Shekein Matzina BeYoshafa Melach Yehuda Shenena Mitzudas Achav. Because we know Achav. Well, let's start like this. There were right. We're in Malachim. We're in Sefer Malachim Aleph. Achav was wicked. His wife was wicked. The Gemara is going to point out in just a moment. His people were wicked. Just not a good king. His wife kills off people, specifically tzaddikim. There were those people who successfully hid from Izevel, but just not good people. Achav was the king of the northern kingdom, and then his counterpart in the south of Yehuda Binyamin was Yehoshaphat. And Yehoshaphat was a tzaddik. He was a good guy. So a good guy, good king, and, you know, alliances are strange, so they created an alliance. Mm-hmm. Now, very simple. Like all alliances, they had a common enemy, and anytime you have a common enemy that poses a threat, so you make alliances, even though they're funny alliances. So the Gemara is going to quote the Psukim and Malachim over here that describe an alliance that was made between Achav and Yehoshaphat. Now, in order to create that alliance, so what better way to create an alliance than with food? Obviously.
Some break bread.
Obviously. In other words, you're gonna eat together, and that eating together is gonna ratify your alliance that you made with your, you know, not your best friends. So the pasuk goes on to say, Shenamar, and here the Gemara quotes the pasuk. These pasukim that we're quoting is from Divrei Yamim, stories in Divrei Yamim, stories in Malachim, both places. So v'yizbechu achav tzon v'akal arov v'la'am asher imo v'yisiseu la'alos al Ramos Gilad. So they wanted to attack the enemy in Ramos Gilad. And so what he, Achav, did is he shechted, vayizbechu Achav, he shechted animals, and vayisisehu, and he enticed Yehoshaphat, meaning he invited Yehoshaphat over, please have some meat with me, let's eat together, let's dine together, and then we'll make an alliance. Good.
So
there are a lot of questions that you can ask, even though this pasuk seems to indicate that that Yehoshaphat ate, but the Gemara is going to ask a barrage of questions. So the Gemara starts off. V'dilma mizbach zavach mecha lo achil. So the Gemara starts off first by saying, how do you know Yehoshaphat ate? Right? So maybe he knows that Achav was a mumal avodah zarah, and so maybe Achav said, maybe Yehoshaphat said, look, I'm not going to eat from Ishchita. That's out of the question. The Gemara says, no, that's not plausible. Vayisi sehu ksiv. No, the pasuk says vayisisehu, he enticed him. An enticement comes in the form of eating. Right? How do you entice anybody? With food. We know that. V'dilma bedvarim. So the Gemara says, ein hasasa bedvarim. Nope. Enticement does not come in the form of words. Enticement comes in the form of food. V'lo v'aksiv, the Gemara persists. Ki yisischa achicha. Parshas Re'eh, we talk about the mesis, the one who entices another. So the Gemara is mechadish b'achila v'shtia. No, even there. How do you entice somebody to be over to avodah zarah? With food. So the Gemara says, okay, but we have a pasuk in Eov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is a quote of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you enticed me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyach, look, we can only understand this to a limited capacity, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you enticed me to swallow him, of course, being Eov. So you see over there, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not entice Eov, I'm sorry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not enticed with food. Right? So how are you going to understand that? So the Gemara says, Lamala Shani. So the Gemara says, look, once we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we operate on different principles and different ground rules. So even though it's true, we use a word, a verb, like Vayisiseu, describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there, it's just different, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, different ground rules. So the Gemara says, V'dilma mishle ashe mecha lo achel. So now the Gemara challenges them more. Okay, so fine. We're going to say that Yehoshaphat and Achav were together. And you're going to say that there was enticement and that included drink and food. But maybe it was only drink. Maybe Yehoshaphat only drank but didn't eat. So maishna shia darminan momel avodas kocham lo havem momel l'chol atara kula achilanami momel avodas kocham lo havem momel l'chol atara kula. So the Gemara says, look, what's the difference? Really, what's the difference? So he didn't eat, but he drank. Now, drinking, of course, we assume is wine. Right? There's no... Right? The kings don't serve Tang. In other words, we're talking wine. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? Meaning, if he's a Mumar Lavodah Zarah, which Achav is, so that means that he's going to be Menaseh HaSayayin. Right? So, how did you gain by suggesting that maybe there was drinking but no eating? So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta. No, the Gemara says, no, it's not true. You do gain. Because Shtiyastam Yainamhu. Because right now, we're not saying that Achav was Menasech. We're just simply saying that We're talking about stam yena, meaning contact between either a non-Jew or an ovid of a mummer lavoda zara who comes into contact with wine. This is what's called stam yena, okay, which is rabbinically forbidden. But rabbinically forbidden, we're early on. We're right. We're at the first temple. So the Gemara says, "Va'adayin lo nesar."
When was this instituted?
This, well, the Gemara is about to say. Well, Rashi is about to say, "But va'adayin lo nesar yeinam shel of de kochavim," and the gzera of stam yeinam wasn't instituted yet. When is it instituted? So Rashi points out, Shammai ve'hilo. Right, this is one of the Shemona Sodavra, one of the 18 things that was instituted by Shammai, which Hillel ultimately capitulated to. Good. In the Aliyah, in the attic. So the Gemara is now still suggesting that maybe they just drank together but didn't eat together, and the Gemara proposed that there's a difference between eating and drinking. So the Gemara says, look, on this we'll say the following. Again, these are kings eating together, Yehoshaphat and Achav. So the Gemara's first approach is simply pasnished. It's difficult to maintain that they just drank but they didn't eat. That's answer number one. Or if you want a more textual answer, the Gemara says, go back to the pasuk that we quote in the beginning of this discussion. The pasuk says vayizbachu, right? He shechted, and it said he enticed. So the Gemara says, so how did he entice him with food? Okay, good. Vidilma. Now the Gemara is still in its barrage of questions. Vidilma Ovadia Zevach. So the Gemara says, look, at the time there was a Navi, and his name is Ovadia. We read Haftarah Parshas Vayishlach. Okay, good. So short Navi. But he was a Navi who lived at the time, and now the Gemara is suggesting that maybe he was the one who was doing the shechting. He lived amongst Achav, and so maybe he was the one who did the shechting. So the Gemara says, L'rov ksiv, Ovadia lo have a sapik. So the Gemara says, no, because Ovadia is one guy, he's one Navi, and there's no way that he was able to shecht for everybody. Remember, it wasn't just the kings eating, it was the kings and a lot of their people. So one person couldn't satisfy everybody. V'dilma shivas alafim zavuach. So the Gemara now is suggesting, look, there are 7,000 tzaddikim who lived in the northern kingdom. Okay, 7,000. How do I know that? Dichsiv, the pasuk says, v'yishar tibisol shivas alafim kol habir kayim asher lo karu labal. There were 7,000 tzaddikim who refused to bow down to Baal. Baal was the avodah zarah of the north. 7,000 of them, so maybe they were the ones who shechted, but the Gemara says, no, Tamuri havu mitmerei mei Izevel. Remember, Izevel was on the warpath. She killed tzaddikim, so it's not like they can come out and say, oh, you need a shochet? Sure, we'd love to, because they know that after the shechting of the animal, they're next. So they did not come out. V'dilma gavri de'achav havu malu. So the Gemara now suggests, okay, look, could be, in other words, Achav's people did the shechting, right? That we know. We also know that Achav was a Ovid Avodah Zarah. Maybe his people weren't. Maybe his people were good people. So the Gemara says, Lo Sakad Dascha. The Gemara says, I'm not prepared to entertain that. Dechsiv, the pasuk says, Moshe Makshiv al Davar Sheker, Kol Misharsav Rishaim. Leader people relationship, right? The leader is a Makshiv al Davar Sheker. He's a liar. So the Gemara says, you know that the people are Rishon, the people are wicked. Okay? And Vidilma Gavri de Yehoshaphat Nami lo have a ma'alah. So now the Gemara says, goes in the other direction. Okay. Yehoshaphat's people, maybe they weren't good people. So in other words, our whole question is, how could they eat the shechita of an Ovid Avodah Zarah? So the Gemara says, well, maybe that didn't bother them. So the Gemara says, no. Zavuch Gavri de Achav Achol Gavri de Yehoshaphat Zavuch. Sorry, Vidilma Gavid Yoshafat Nami lo have a malu. Zavuch Gavid Achav Achol Gavid Yoshafat. Zavuch Avadia Achol Yoshafat. And the Gemara says, and so what we could suggest is that as far as Yoshafat is concerned, who we know is a tzaddik, so he the Shechita. Who Shechita? Avadia Shechita. The people of Yoshafat, who may not be good, okay, so they ate the Shechita from the people of Achav. Lo saka dacha. Again, the Gemara says no. No, let's not entertain that as well. Because the Gemara says the equation goes in both directions. If you have a wicked leader, you have wicked followers. And if you have a tzaddik as a leader, you have tzaddik as followers. Haladavar emes mesharts of tzaddikim. Okay. Vidilma zavoch gavrei d'acha achal acha v'gavrei v'gavrei zavoch gavrei d'yoshafat acha yoshafat v'gavrei. So the Gemara now suggests, okay, but maybe even though they had a party and they had a little get together, but foods were kept separate. Yoshafat ate and his people ate their shechita, and Achav ate from, and his people ate from their shechita. And so the Gemara says, and so maybe there was just simply a division, a little mechitza, if you will, at the party, between the two camps. So the Gemara, top of Hey Amud Aleph, now lo hafa maflag nafshe mine. So the Gemara says, no, there was not a flaga. There was no separation between the two. They ate together. How do I know that? Minalan. The Gemara continues on this discussion. Right? Sounds a little like Rus. Right? We're like you and you're like us. Right? This is a declaration made between Yoshaf and Achav. So the Gemara says, our horses are also in the same fate. This is not a discussion of social relationship between the two. This is just simply Yehoshaphat saying to Achav, look, whatever's going to happen to you is going to happen to us. Meaning, we are going to make an alliance, we're not going to make a pact. And if your horses go down, our horses go down as well. But this is not a discussion of the social relationship between Achav and Yehoshaphat. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll give you another. So, Hachanami, Ela ma dehave asusecha tehave asusi. Hachanami, ma dehave alecha vilave amech tehave alai vilave ami. So the Gemara says, this is how you're supposed to understand the pasuk. Not that they were strong friends, but simply, your fate, our fate is the same. Ela me hacha, so the Gemara says, okay, how about this? Well, I'll quote you another pasuk. Melech Yisrael v'yoshafat melech Yehuda yoshim ish al kiso, meluvashim begadim begoren, Pesach Shar Shomron. We have a pasuk in Malachim that describes the two of them sitting down. Sitting down, dressed regally, and Begorin Pesach Shar Shomron. They were at the gate, the entrance of Shomron, that's the entrance to the north, and they were Begorin in the threshing floor. Okay, that's what Gorin usually means. So my Gorin. So the Gemara says, Elaim, a Gorin, Mamish. But really, that's where they were. They were in a threshing floor. So the Gemara says, Atu Shar Shomron, Gorin who? This is the entrance to the north. You want to tell me that the entrance to the north was a threshing floor? That's just implausible. So, Ela Ki Goren. So the Gemara says, no. It's like the Goren. Specifically, which Goren? The way Sanhedrin was sitting. Did non Sanhedrin Haisa Kechati Goren Agulak Deshi Ron Zeedze? We know when the first Mishnayos in Sanhedrin says that when the Sanhedrin sat together, so they were sitting in a half circle. Right? A half moon, if you will. And Rashi explains that the reason why they do that is so that when somebody talks, everybody else is seeing that person talk, and there's total communication between one and the other. And Rashi describes the members of Sanhedrin being very close and being very friendly. So this is the way Sanhedrin sat. This is the way Achav and Yehoshaphat sat as well, in such a formation. And the point is that they were close, they were friends. So Leima Misayale. So wait, before we go further in the Gemara. Good. So this is it. So the Gemara basically says this is going to be supportive of Rav Anan, who has a tremendous chiddush, that if you have a mumla avodah zarah and he shechs, the shechita is a good shechita. And now what the Gemara is saying is, how does he know that? This story over here. Yehoshaphat and Achav ate together. Achav was the one doing the shechita. Achav is a mumla avodah zarah. We're going to assume the same thing about his people as well. And yet he did a shechita, and Yehoshaphat ate from that shechita. It must be that that this proves Rav Anan's point. A second proof. Lema misayeh leva horavim evim lo lechem uvasar. Ba boker velechem uvasar ba erev. Eliyahu was in hiding. Eliyahu needed to eat. So who brought him the food? So we know this is one of the famous ones. So the ravens brought him the food. Now the Amar of Yehuda Marav. Now we have a tradition brought to us in the name of Rav Yehuda Marav, which is mi beit havchei da achav. Food was brought to us, compliments of the kitchen of Achav. Okay. Ravens went to Ahav's kitchen. Ravens got the meat that was shechted. Ravens brought it over to Eliyahu. Again, another proof that that you're allowed to eat the shechita of somebody who's a mumer la'avodah zarah.
But even assuming that this is all correct, right? But the thing is that Eliyahu was like a compulsion. It didn't have a choice.
Right. And the Gemara is not going to give that answer. Gemara will give another answer, which is similar. Al pi adi boshani. The Gemara says, well, that's not a great proof, because if you're being supplied your meals by ravens, that means that this is divine intervention. And the Gemara says, basically, divine intervention doesn't come into play when we're discussing halachic matters. Okay, good. Tosfos points out, by the way, you'll see this later on in the Masechta, this is concept of basar shenes alim in ha'ayin, that if you have meat that left the view of a Jew, that meat is going to be forbidden. We'll talk more about this later on in the Masechta, not for now. But
when
the ravens had it, it was out of the view of the people, so Tosfos is bothered. So how can Eliyahu have eaten such food if it's basar shenes alim in ha'ayin? Although, Tosfos acknowledges that once the Gemara gives the answer of al pi adi bershani, that this is divine intervention, so really, you can't really ask halachic questions. But before the Gemara gave the answer of al pi adi bershani, the Gemara, Tosfos wants to know, how do we understand all this? Okay, but let's go on in the Gemara. My Orvin, I'm Ravina Orvin Mamish. So the Gemara says, when we say ravens, what do we mean? So the Gemara says, you know what we mean? We mean ravens. So Amalei, Ravada Brahminyuma Vidilma Tre Garvid Abu Shemaya Orvin. Well, ravens could be a name. Right? It's the name of a football team. Yeah, in Baltimore. So the Gemara says, so Milo Ksiva Yargu es Orev Bitsur Orev es Zaev. There is a pasuk in Shoftim that actually describes someone with the name Orev. So the Gemara says, Amarlei Isramai Milsa de Tarvayo Have Shmai Orvim. So the Gemara says, too coincidental. One guy by the name of Orev, yeah. Two guys by the name of Orev, Gemara says, I'm not buying. Vidilma al Shema Kamam, the Gemara says, okay, but it could be that that's the name of where they came from. We have a pasuk in Malachim that describes a girl, Na'ara Ketana. Now, you know those are two different developmental stages of a girl. Is she a Na'ara, is she a Ketana? V'kashtalan, karele Na'ara, v'karele Ketana. V'amara pedas Ketana demin urin. So the Gemara says Ketana is what her actual status was. She was a minor. And Na'ara means she was from a place called Ni'uran. So that's why she was called Na'ara, because that's the name of her place where she was from. So Imkain, sorry, before we get to that next phrase of the Gemara, so maybe Orev over here is actually where they came from. So the Gemara says, Imkin Orviyim mi bayele. Now, if that's where they came from, so the Pasuk would have said Orviyim. The fact that the Pasuk just simply says Orev or Orvan, that's an, right, Orvim, I should say, that's an indication that they were actual ravens. Okay. Good. That was a tangent. We're back to our discussion over here. We have on the table a chiddush, a big chiddush of Ravanan, which is that if you have someone who's a mumer l'avodah zarah, which is as mumer as you can get, well, it's not true. You could be a mumer l'chol Torah kula, but it's pretty intense that you simply are ovid avodah zarah. That's what I do. So Ravanan says such a person can shecht, and you can eat the shechita of that person. That's a chiddush of Ravanan. So the Gemara says lema misayelei. Okay, so we're going to go to a brisa that we've seen already, but we're going to revisit this brisa, and we're going to suggest that this brisa is supportive of Ravanan. Ha kol shochin ve'afilu kusiv ve'afilu arava ve'afilu yisrael mumer. So again, the brisa starts off without, like our Masechta did, with ha kol shochin, everyone can shecht. But here the brisa actually tells you who is it coming to include. A kusi can shecht, an arel can shecht, a non-circumcised, and yisrael mumer. And someone who's a non-believer. So hi arel. So first off, we start with the discussion that we had yesterday. When it says Arel, who are we talking about? So if his brothers died out of Mila, two older brothers died, so parents did the right thing by not giving a Mila, and he's doing the right thing by not getting a Mila, Pikuach Nefesh. Right? His life is more important than the mitzvah of Mila. So when it says an Arel, it means religious issues. His parents didn't want to give him a meal out of religious issues, and he himself said, you know what, I also am not going to get a meal out of religious issues. So this is what's called a mumer ledavar echad, right? Mumer for one item. So Ema Seifa Vafil Yisrael Mumar. So then the Braisa goes on to say, and you know who also can shecht? A Mumar. But we've just qualified that the Arel is a Mumar. So what are we getting out of that third statement of the Braisa? Hechidami. Imumala Davar Echad Hainu Mumala Arel. So the Gemara says Mumala Davar Echad was covered already by the second case of the Braisa. Elalav Mumala Boris Kochav Muchid Rav Anan. So the Gemara says we got to go one step further than that. We got to give a bigger Chiddush. So you know what? What the Braisa is telling us is what Rav Anan is telling us, which is that a Mumala Boris Zara. Which it's true that he's a mumar davar echad, but that's some davar, meaning he's a mumar for avodah zara. Even he can shecht, and even we can eat his shkita. So the Gemara says lo la olam emelcham mumar avodas kochavim lo. So the Gemara says just a total rejection of Rav Anan. The Gemara says, look, if you're a mumar avodah zara, you're simply you're not in the reservation. You're off the reservation. How do I know this? I'm amar because. Gemara says it here. Gemara says it in a number of places. Chamura avodas kochavim shekol hakofer bake mode bechol haTorah kula. Right? If you reject avodah zarah, it's an acceptance of the entire Torah. And now just take that statement and reverse. And if you accept avodah zarah, just avodah zarah, you are rejecting the entire Torah. So the Gemara says, the truth be told is that a mumla avodah zarah is considered mumla chol haTorah kula. And no. And the Gemara says basically just a rejection, a full rejection of Rav Anan. So good. So now let's go back to that Braisa. The Braisa, how does the Braisa work? Braisa says Arel, and we know that means a mumar la Arel. So what's the next part of the Braisa? So the Gemara says next part of the Braisa is supportive of what we learned yesterday in the name of Rava. Rava says that not just a mumar la davar echad, but a mumar la oso davar. So he'll eat non-kosher. So the Gemara says that person can shecht as well. Provided, Rava says, provided that you check the knife and you give him the knife after the knife was already checked. But if you do that, this mumar la tavan can shecht an animal. That's what the Braisa is coming to include. Okay. And now that we're in the process of rejecting Rav Anan, the Gemara is going to make a full rejection of Rav Anan Meisvei. Gemara says, I'm going to challenge you based on the following Braisa. Now this Braisa is working off one of the first psukim of Parshas Vayikra. Okay? After having just completed Zvachim and Menachos, so we're familiar. The first perek of Vayikra talks about an Ola Olas Nedava. A person wants to give a voluntary offering. Okay, so can you accept an offering from anybody? Almost anybody. The pasuk says, Mikem, Velo Kulchem. Some of you can bring a karban, not all of you. Not everybody can bring a karban. Lahotzi es amumar. Mumar cannot bring a karban. So in other words, the mumar comes into the Beis HaMikdash, they give him some sort of religious test, short religious test, and I joke about that. I assume everyone enjoys the chazak of being kosher. I assume that. But in other words, but if they know that this person's a mumar, so they simply say to him, your karbanos are not accepted here. Mikem, and then the Gemara darshins one step further. Bachem chalak yevlo beumos. This is true when a Jew brings a karban. What if a non-Jew brings a karban? So there is no division. Meaning, when the non-Jew comes, we don't give him any religious test whatsoever. Believer, non-believer, how do you feel about the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? These are questions we don't ask. Because even if his answer was, no Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach for me, it doesn't matter. By a non-Jew, simply accept his karban under all circumstances. Okay? So the division of Mumar versus non-mumar, believer versus non-believer, that's only for Jew. Okay, then the Gemara darshans one more. Min ha-behema la-havi b'nei adam shadom la-behema. Min ha-behema, he's going to bring from an animal. And the Gemara darshans, interesting drush over here, that's actually a reference not to the animal, but to the person. Person behaving like an animal. What does that mean? It means, mikan sh'amra mikabam karbanas miposhi Yisrael. Even if the person's a sinner, doesn't matter. You accept his karban. Kedeshiyachzu behem b'tshuva, so that they can return in tshuva. Chutz min hamumar omenaseh chesayin omechal shabasos befarhesya. However, there are people who are poshi Yisrael that are so over the line, so over the top, that no way you're going to accept their carbon. And that is, now I'm going to read the Gemara, Kipshuto, that is one, a mumar, two, someone who performs nisach hayayin, libations with wine for avodah zarah, and three, chal Shabbos befarhes, is someone who violates Shabbos publicly. Now the Gemara says, let's see if we can process this entire brisa that we just learned. The brisa starts off, I'll do it in the Gemara. Hagufa kasha. Look, the brisa is difficult because amart mikem velo kulchem lo tzias ha-mumar. The first point the brisa made is that mumar, no. You cannot accept a carbon from a mumar. Good. Then move on to the next part of the brisa. V'hadu tini mekabim karbonos miposhe yisrael. The sinner's fine. Take the carbon of a sinner. So halo kasha. So the Gemara says, look, I have no problem with this. Reisha mumar l'chol tara kula mitzias ha-mumar l'davar echad. Okay? We'll make a simple division in terms of level of mumar. The first part of the brisa is talking about mumar l'chol tara kula. He's just a full rejection of Torah. Period. Period. So for him, you're not invited. You can't bring your carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. Next part of the brisa, second part of the brisa, mumar l'davar echad. Poshe Yisrael just simply means that one mitzvah, one avera, he's not buying into. The system in general he buys into, but kashrus, not kashrus. Or not chela, or whatever. One mitzvah he's not buying into. Eima seifa. But the Gemara says, fine, that's very good. But then we move on to the last part of the brisa. And here it's where it's going to get a little tricky. Because it says, chutz min ha-mumar menasech yisayim al-chal shabbos b'far hesya. Then it says, but don't accept a carbon from a mumar. Hai mumar hechidami. Yeah, what kind of mumar are we talking about? E mumar l'chol ha-tara kula hai nereisha. So if it's a mumar l'chol ha-tara kula, that was already made in the first point of the brisa. E mumar l'davar echad kasha mitziyasa. And if it's a mumar for one item, but in the second part of the brisa we said, we'll take it. Poshe Yisrael will take. Elalav hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, and that third part of the brisa, we're going to have to say a nupshat. A nupshat altogether. Now the way I read the brisa is that last part of the brisa was talking about three different categories. Mumar, Menaseh Chesayayin, and Chil Shabbos Befar Hesya. The Gemara now is going to say no. Read it like this. Chutz min ha-mumar Linaseh Chesayayin U'lechal Shabbos Befar Hesya. That last part of the brisa is talking about a mumar. And it is talking about mumar ledavar echad. But the kind of mumar that he is, even though it's just one thing that he's rejecting, but it happens to be that one thing is a big thing. Either he is a mumar l'avodah zarah, which makes him a mumar l'chol ha-tarah kula, or he's a mumar l'chal Shabbos b'far hesya. He is a public violator of Shabbos. Rashi over here, an important Rashi over here.
He doesn't know, even if he...
No, that's different. That's different. This is somebody. We're talking about somebody who knows.
B'far hesya means that he's showing everybody.
Yeah, and there's an important...
He's flaunting it.
Okay. Right. Important Rashi over here. Rashi writes the last couple lines of Rashi. Right? Mumar l'avodah zarah, that part we know. That part we understand. Meaning he's an idolater. And idolatry is a flat rejection of Kol HaTorah Kula. Even though he keeps all the other mitzvahs, right? A bizarre person. But still, a mumar l'avodah zarah is a mumar l'chol ha-tara kula. What about mechal Shabbos b'far hesya? Look at Rashi. Look at the last lines of Rashi. Hai Tana, the author of this Tana, of this Braisa, chamir le-Shabbos kavodas kochavim. If you violate Shabbos publicly, that's avodah zarah. Daha oved avodas kochavim kofir b'kadosh baruch hu. Why? Because someone who's oved avodah zarah, that's a rejection of God. Okay. What if you're a public violator of Shabbos? So you're rejecting the actions of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sheker Shavas Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because when we keep Shabbos, every Shabbos that we keep is a testimony that God created the world. Okay. So the person who publicly violates Shabbos, again, this is talking about the person who knows what he's doing and understands. And the person who publicly violates Shabbos is testifying, yeah, this world that we live in over here, that wasn't created by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Right? It happened by its own.
Big bang.
Right. Correct. No divine intervention in terms of making of this world.
This is actually for somebody who... Somebody who just comes, for example.
Yeah, somebody doesn't know.
Somebody knows that they shouldn't do, but do it for other reasons. Not necessarily to go against Hashem, just for.
Right.
Just like somebody who has a food.
We are, in general, again, you know I'm not a posek, but we, in general, would be much more apt to suggest that it's the lack of knowledge than it is a real desire
to be amazing.
You're right, to be amazing and to say that I'm going to do it. Okay, good. All right, we got more to go, but so far so good. I'm sorry, let me just read the important words of the Gemara. Sorry. So the Gemara says, look, flat reject another refutation of Ravanan, because the way now we just learned this Braisa is that once you're a Mumr L'Avodah Zarah, you're considered a Mumr L'Chola Torah Kula, and now we have flatly rejected Ravanan. Okay, good. So
And
what we're going to have to do in terms of that story of Yehoshaphat, that's good. That's a good question, because the Gemara really developed, spent a lot of time developing that as a proof for Ravanan. I guess what you go back is you go back over that Gemara again, and a lot of the points which the Gemara said in defense of Ravanan, the Gemara could just simply say no, meaning we could say that Yehoshaphat didn't eat from the Shechita of Achav. Maybe Ovadia did in fact shecht for Yehoshaphat, and it was not Achav, right? The Gemara, it was an argument, but it was constructed on a lot of assumptions. And I guess what we'll do is we'll go back and we'll just challenge those assumptions. The Gemara doesn't actually do that, but I guess you and I would have to do that. Okay, so on the table are two chidushim, and the Gemara accepts one, rejects the other. The two chidushim are, if you're a mumar lo oso davar, right, you happen not to eat kosher. Your yetzahar gets the best of you, and you don't eat kosher. So Rava says, if you check the knife and you give him the knife, he can check. So that chidush, the Gemara seems to accept. The bigger chidush, I don't know if it's bigger, but on the other chidush of Ravanan, that if you're a mumar lo avodah zarah, he says that person can check, then you can eat his shechita. The Gemara simply refutes it, no. If you're a mumar lo avodah zarah, you're considered a mumar lechol hatorah kula. Okay, good. Now the Gemara is going to spend just a little bit of time pointing out that we do seem to have another source that teaches us this very halacha. We're on the top of Hamad Beis, and we are going through another braisa, a braisa that we saw together. Me'am ha'aretz. This is talking about the Karban Chatas. Now the Karban Chatas, you accept me'am ha'aretz prat lamumar. Now pretty much anybody, in other words, anybody can bring a Karban Chatas, but it says may am ha'aretz, from the people, not from all the people, right? It's the same style of drasha that we had earlier when it says mikam. Some of you, but not all of you. So who can bring a Karban Chatas? A mumar can't bring a Karban Chatas. Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Asher lo asa senu b'shkagah v'ashem. It says, he didn't do it b'shogeg, meaning it was an accident. Accident, I say this often. Accident's not the right word. But in other words, it was inadvertent. He didn't mean it. Had he known that what he was doing was wrong, he would have stopped. And so, Rabbi Shimon says, this is a criteria of who can bring a Karban Chatas. Hashav miyediyaso may be Karban al Shegagaso, eino shav miyediyaso ainim may be Karban al Shegagaso. Which means that, if right before he did whatever he did, you would say to him, well, my friend, did you know that that's Chalev? Do you know you're not allowed to eat that? And then his response would be, ooh, I didn't know that. Okay, fine, of course I won't eat it. That person, and only that person, has the right to bring a karban. But if it's somebody who had you give him advance warning and said, you know, that's chalev, and his response to you would be, good, and I'm going to eat it anyway, so that person does not have the right to bring a karban chatas. Now, sounds pretty much the same, meaning the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon, they sound really similar. The basic idea is, it's got to be a good guy.
But that's not the echad.
Wait just one second. Maybe Asher Gassar Einu Shav Miyadiyas, and maybe Karban Asher Gassar V'Amrina Mai Beinayu. And the Gemara now points out there's got to be some difference between the two of them. Amar Rav Hamanuna Mumar LaEchol Chelev V'Hevi Karban Al Hadam Ika Beinayu. So the Gemara says, yeah, I'll tell you what the difference is. Let's say this person is going to eat Chelev, okay, and he has no problems with it. Chalev, the forbidden fast of an animal, is awesome in a Torah, Isuri Kares.
Right.
And this person over here says, good, you know what? I'm buying into the whole system of Torah, but not Chalev. I can't get enough of Chalev. I love it. One of my favorites. So so that's this person. So, and it happens to be that he's bringing Karban Chatas because inadvertently he ate blood. And blood, I won't eat blood. Blood I won't eat. And inadvertently, he forgot it was blood, he forgot that it was ulcer, whatever the case is, inadvertently he ate blood. So, is he behavi carbon al adam ikabenahu? So, is he a mummer? So, the answer is
with regard to chelev,
he is a mummer.
Right.
He is a mummer. So, does he qualify as a mummer? Yes, he does. Is he shav miyidiyaso in this particular case? Yeah, he would have been shav miyidiyaso. Meaning, had you went over to him and said to him, you know, my friend, that's blood that you're about to drink. Oh, I don't drink blood. Chelev I'm fine with, but I don't drink blood. So he is shav miyidiyaso. So this would be a difference, a distinction between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. So, but what the Gemara is gleaning from this is that if you are a mummer, that's it. You're out of the parsha. You can't bring a carbon chatas if you are a mummer. Now, if you're following the Gemara well, and that really also is predicated on if I explained it well. But if you're following the Gemara well, we kind of lost a little bit in terms of the comparison between what we just learned over here in this drasha, as opposed to what we learned in the previous Braisa. Meaning in the previous Braisa, we were discussing not Mumr la Davar Echad. Mumr la Davar Echad, that's fine. He's Poshe Yisrael. That's fine. We'll take him. And we'll take his carbon. It's a Mumr la Chol HaTorah Kula, which the previous Braisa says, he's out of the discussion. He's off limits. Here in this Braisa, sounds like we're talking about a Mumr la Davar Echad. Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, this person is a Chelev eater. That's it. He's just a Chelev eater. He's not a Mumr la Chol HaTorah Kula. So the flow of the Gemara, how the Gemara is making a comparison between this Braisa and the previous Braisa, and then what the Gemara is about to do is say, we need both. We need both the previous Braisa and this Braisa. The previous Braisa is talking about a carbon ola, and this Braisa is talking about a carbon chatas. And the Gemara just seems like to blend the two together, but they're really not talking about the same thing. So what I'm raising right now is a question raised by Tosfos. Tosfos himself is bothered because it doesn't sound like the Gemara is having a linear discussion. It sounds like the Gemara is very choppy. And not for now, but on your own, take a look at the top Tosfos over here, where Tosfos tries to reconcile how the Gemara just compared these two brises.
Anyone that would do carrot things would be cut off. They wouldn't be able to do...
Right, that's Tosus's first answer, that when the Gemara says Chelev, the Gemara really means, you know, he'll do basically anything. Anything.
He's not concerned about
Karet. Right, no, you're right. If he's not Karet, he's not worried about Karet, so he'll pretty much... Chelev is code word for anything and everything. That's Tosus's first answer. Tosus's second answer is even more ingenious. Right, he's Chelev and Dama, really one of the same thing, and it's a Mumla Oso Davar. Okay, again, not for now, but just raising awareness of what the issue is. Gemara, let's go back to the Gemara now. The Gemara is going to answer like this. I need both drashas, a drasha of Ola and a drasha of Chatas. Chata b'Chatas v'Chata b'Olas v'Tzrichi. Di'ash min Chatas mishum dola kaparuhu aval Ola didoron hu emel kabel minei. Look, by a chatas, I can hear the difference of, you know, you want to bring a carbon chatas because you want to be a Baal Tshuva. Right, good. You're a mummer? You have no business bringing carbon chatas. Okay, fine. That I can hear. But by an ola, look, a person brings an ola just simply because he wants to bring a gift to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe we'll take everybody. So that's why I need a special drasha by ola. And you can make a reverse argument as well. And if all I had was a drasha of ola, meaning by an ola, don't take the carbon of a mumar, but maybe by a chatas, look, you know, it's not an option, it's an obligation. You violate an issue, you're obligated to bring the carbon chatas, so maybe you could have argued, I know he's a mumar, but he's obligated to bring the carbon chatas, so maybe let him bring the carbon chatas. Okay, so that's why I need a drasha both by Ola and by Chatas. Okay. A little bit more in terms of tangent. We said, Mina Behema means somebody who behaves like an animal, meaning he's not a follower of Torah mitzvahs. Okay. And so the word Mina Behema was obviously understood in a pejorative sense. The Gemara says, is that always true? V'chol hecha dechse behema griyusahi? That's what behema means. It always means pejorative. V'haksiv, the pasuk says, Adam of behema. Toshia Hashem, Pasuk in Tehillim, said in the Beis Avel. So, V'amar of Yehuda Amarav, Eilu b'nei Adam Shein Arum and Bedas. This Pasuk of Adam u'Behema is talking about people who are smart, wise, but humble. Right? Humble like animals. So in other words, obviously the word behemoth over here is used in, not in a pejorative sense, but it's used in a positive sense. So the Gemara's answer is Hasam Ksiv Adam U Behema Hacha Behema L'chudei Ksiv. So the Gemara says, yeah, but just the structure of the pasuk. It says Adam U Behema. So that means that we're blending the two together. But if it says behema by itself, that's pejorative. V'chol hechad ichtiv adam behema ma'ayusi v'aksiv. Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, v'zerati is basis so, zera adam v'zera behema. So it says, I will plant zera adam v'zera behema. So the Gemara says, hasam hachalke kra zera adam l'chud v'zera behema l'chud. Yeah, again, contextually, however, it doesn't actually put adam behema together. As one phrase, it says Zera Adam and Zera Behema. So the Gemara says it's separate. Okay. I told you today's discussion is going to be a Mumer discussion, which we successfully concluded. Mumer L'chol Torah Kula. No. Right? Out of the discussion. Can't bring a carbon. He certainly can't shecht. Mumer L'chol Torah is out of the discussion. Mumer L'Avodah Zarah. So Rabbanan's Mechadish, but the Gemara does not accept the Chiddush of Rabbanan. Also, out of the discussion, can't shech, can't bring a carbon. He's a mumer l'chol Torah kula, basically. Good. We're going to put in that category the braisa, the bottom of Hamad Aleph said, mumer l'chol Shabbos befarhesya. Same story. Consider mumer l'chol Torah kula. We're going to come back, we're going to discuss that later on in the Masechta as well, a little bit later on, Daf Yadala, I think. And then, mumer l'oso davar, right? What if he's a mumer for that thing? Meaning he wants to shech, but he eats not kosher. So that Rava's Mechadesh, it's a Chiddush that he can Shecht, and the Gemara seems to accept Rava's Chiddush, that he can in fact Shecht. The only thing you need to do is check the knife beforehand. Good. And the Chelev, again, assuming that it's just Chelev, it's a Mumer L'davar Echad, it's a Mumer only for that one thing. But if he's a Mumer for that one thing, that's the thing that he violated, so he can't bring a carbon Chatos.
Is he considered a mumer
l'teyavim for that one? Yeah, he's a mumer. He's correct. It's a lesser level of mumer.
He could bring it, but can he shech?
That's a good question. If you just have something that you're fundamentally opposed to, you can be a mumer, mumer l'achis on one thing, and you can be a mumer. And you can be everything else you want to keep. Or
I don't know. Right, mumer l'hachis l'davar echad.
Yeah.
That's. It seems like from the Gemara's discussion earlier that you're again off. Rabbi you're off the reservation. Yeah. Okay. Kusi. A little bit more today with Kusi, and I told you today's discussion is mumer Kusi, more mumer than Kusi. But let's start the discussion today. We're in the middle of the Amud. We're on Hamud Beis, and the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Yaakov, Bar Ili, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Rav Gamliel Uveisto, Uveisdino." So, who are we talking about, Rabban Gamliel? So Rashi points out when we say Rabban Gamliel over here, we mean son of Rav Yehuda Hanasi. So we're at the end of the period of Tanaim. I told you, Kusi just goes on and on. Meaning the debate about Kusi doesn't seem to end. Right, they're good, they're not good, they're Jews, they're not Jews, right? And the Gemara just goes back and forth, and finally we get to a point, a breaking point, so to say, that we're now between the period of Tanaim and Amorayim, right, son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and he says, Rabbi Gamliel makes a gzardin, he makes a ruling, official, nimnu ashritas kusi ve'asruha. And they said, no, we do not accept the shchita of a Kusi. Now, it's interesting, by the way, it does not seem to suggest that they are not Jewish, right? That doesn't seem to be the ruling, it's just that their shchita is no good. So, Amale Rabbi Zera la Rabbi Yaakov Ra'idi Shema lo Shama Rabbi El B'Shein Yisrael Med Al Gabav. Maybe the psak of that Beis Din was when there's no supervision. So, Amale Dami Haimi Rabbanan Kedolo Gemiri Inshi. So Rav Yaakov Bar Idi says...
But if that was the case, you could have said, well, I'm Idi Kazai, like you said before.
Right. So the Gemara says, right, it's like you don't know how to learn. It's like you never heard anything before. So Gemara in Shishmaita, B'Shein Yisrael Amin Agabav, L'meim Rabbi? What do you mean? If there's no supervision, that's never a discussion. Meaning even when we said that the Kusi can check, that's only when there's supervision. So the psak of the basin of Rabbi Gamliel has to go one step further than that. It has to be, even when even with supervision, it can't be good. Okay. Kibble mine or lo kibble mine. Now, right, correct or not correct? Is that good thinking or is that not good thinking? So Tashmad, Amar Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav Asi, Ani Reisi is Rabbi Yochanan she'achem shechitas kusi. Oh, so Gemara says, I saw Rabbi Yochanan, okay, Lashon Hara for the day, I saw Rabbi Yochanan, this should be our Lashon Hara for the day, I saw Rabbi Yochanan eat shechita of a kusi. Okay? Afrav Asi Acham Shchitas Kusi. And not only that, right? Just make the headlines even that much better. And I saw Rav Asi eat from the Shchita of a Kusi. Vitai Bar Rav Zera. So now Rav Zera says, now remember, Rav Yochanan and Rav Asi, they're living after the Psakdin of Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din. So that means that they should have not eaten it. So Shmiele, I'm sorry. Batai bar Rabbi Zera. Lo Shmiele, I'm sorry. Lo Shmielehu di have Shmielehu have a mekabele. Oh, dema Shmiele below kablua. So I'm wondering now, what's going on with Rabbi Yochanan? Did he know about Rabbi Gamliel and the psak of Rabbi Gamliel, and just simply reject it, or did he not know about it at all? Okay, I'm wondering. Hadar Pashat Lanafshe. Now he has a conversation with himself. He's talking with himself. But he's making a systematic argument and he's presenting now his conclusion. Mistab de Shmiel Velo Kibla. I gotta say, I have to conclude that when Rav Yochanan and Rav Asi ate the Shechit of Akusi, they knew about the Psak of Rabbi Gamliel and they dismissed the Psak of Rabbi Gamliel.
So
now, how can Rav Yochanan do? How can Rav Yochanan do that? That question. Yeah, that question. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that question. That's good, but let's just work with his argument. The Gemara says, because what was my other option? Rav Yochanan didn't know about it. And through that lack of knowledge, he ate the Shechit of Akusi. Can't be. Hechi misaya milsa lamechal isura. Can't be. Hashta behemtum shot tzadikim ein akash baruch hu mevi takal al yadam. Tzadikim atzman lo kol shekein. Right? The donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. Right, we'll be talking later on about that donkey. Don't worry. The donkey of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair would not eat produce that was untithed. Shumas and Mises were not taken off, and the animal would not eat it. And that's the animals of Tzadikim. So Tzadikim receive a special protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they won't eat treif. So it can't be that Rabbi Yochanan didn't know about the Psak of Rabbi Gamliel, because he would have had siyata deshmai, he would have had divine help, so as to not to eat the treif. It must be that he knew about the psak din, and it was a total rejection of the psak din. So let's just do a little bit more for this morning. I know where we are in terms of time. Isak adacha lo kibla minei. Now, let's go back to that previous discussion. Remember, right, when we first came out with the ruling of the psak din, Rabbi Gamliel, we said, well, maybe there's a difference between supervision versus no supervision. So the Gemara says, "Lishne le kan kishe yisrael omed al gabav, kan kishe yisrael omed al gabav." Why couldn't you make another distinction and say, "Well, it matters whether it was supervised or whether it was not supervised." Right? When he obviously accepted the fact that the psak of the Beis Din Rabban Gamliel is that there's no difference. There's no difference with or without supervision. Their ruling that the kusi and the shechita of the kusi is no good. That's categoric. Shechita v'kusi, simply no good. Supervision, no, doesn't matter. They're just simply no good. And then, when he's watching Rav Yochanan and Rav Asi eat the shechita v'kusi, and he's scratching his head, how are they doing it? The only conclusion that he can come to is, therefore, he knows about the psak din of the Beis Din, and he rejected the psak din of the Beis Din. Okay, good. So what we so far now have discussed is the psak din of the Beis Din, Rabbi Gamliel, Rav Yochanan and Rav Asi rejecting the psak din of that Beis Din. We'll talk more about that as well.
The psak din has to be accepted by the populace, right?
Correct.
So maybe it wasn't that
good.
Enough time.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay, well, more to discuss.
Don't we serve any Beis
Din all coming up. Okay, more discussion about this.
Right.
Okay, good. Stop over here. Tomorrow, pick it up on Shabbos. Everyone, have a wonderful Shabbos.